good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Memorial Day, the 26th day of May. And of course, Brother David Tucker in with us this morning. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir.
And Brother Joe Barner.
Well, good morning.
I just thought I'd call y'all brothers this morning. That's all right, right?
That is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
That is fine. Absolutely.
Finer than a frog hair?
Better than sister, I can tell you that.
Well, that's true. That's true. How are you all doing this morning?
We're doing very well. It's a good day. Memorial Day is a unique day, I think, for our country and for our community.
Yes.
Today we were going to take a break from our Genesis study to kind of dig in a little bit into the concept of Memorial Day and also the biblical expectation of Memorial Day.
Okay.
Because in truth, Lord's Supper is Memorial Day every time we take it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll
remember his death until he comes.
That's right. Exactly. And so I thought as we got started, we start with just a few things. There might be some things that folks don't know about Memorial Day. I didn't know some things about Memorial Day. I didn't know it started basically as a Southern tradition because it was Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm.
So May 5th was Decoration Day in 1968. And that was commemorating basically the Confederate soldiers that fought in
the
Civil War.
From what I've read, it started out not long after the war between the states.
Right.
And they were a couple of ladies. They had the bright idea, let's honor the fallen on both sides.
So they did. They carried those.
And it was called Decoration Day.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then it was moved to actually May 30th to honor all those who have fallen in all wars.
Mm-hmm.
And then from May 30th, it was moved to
Last Monday in May.
The last Monday in May. And so it literally has been a day that has been in process, I suppose, with our country for a time period. We think of these things as always having been there, but they've not always been there. The other thing I wasn't aware of as much on Memorial Day, the flags are flown at half mast, and that much I knew. But at noon, you're supposed to raise to full staff.
Okay.
And the reason is because you lower it at sunrise to half mast to honor the fallen, but then you raise it to full staff at noon to spark the concept of America's future is bright. Mm-hmm. And the victories that have been won will push us forward into the future. So it's you don't end Memorial Day with sadness. You actually end it with a statement of whether it's defiance or courage, I don't know. But that's the way that's supposed to happen. And then in the 2000s, they actually passed a moment of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not been around where I've seen that actually take place, I'll be honest.
Sure.
I wasn't aware of it. But at 3 p.m. today, you're supposed to take a full minute of silence no matter where you're at and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The whole country's supposed to stop and have a moment of silence.
Gotcha.
So that was passed by Congress, and they put that into effect. Of course, they have the laying of the wreaths. There's the concept of the Indianapolis 500, which video this year was pretty amazing as they flew Apaches around with the pace car.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were Apaches. I truly don't know.
Yeah.
But they had these big old military helicopters hovering above the vehicles as they were beginning their pace laps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a fascinating particular holiday, and it has a lot of intricacies to it.
Sure.
But the main thing that I've found is that it is to remember what has been and to honor that, but never to let that be the end of the story, to be looking forward.
Yeah.
So today, when we dive into the scriptures, we'll be in Romans chapter 12, where we'll talk about the past and how that affects our future in Christ.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in John 14:12, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." William Booth once had an audience with King Edward VII of England. His Majesty highly commended the Salvationist for his unflagging zeal and wonderful work among the poor. How revealing was Booth's reply to the King's glowing words. He said, "Your Majesty, some men's passion is for art. Some men's passion is for fame. My passion is for souls. What am I passionate about? Hunting? Gardening? Good food? Socializing? What about the lost who are bound for hell? Are you and I moved at all when we consider their plight?" I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
And welcome back to Missionary Radio Front Porch on this Memorial Day.
Well, we were talking about Memorial Day before we went to break, and we're going to be discussing it all the way through this hour. But as we were digging into it, there was one factoid that I missed, Joe. What was the factoid that we missed?
Memorial Day unofficially is the beginning of summer, also the beginning of peak hot dog season.
Hot dog season.
That's
interesting. That is interesting. I would think that opening day for baseball would be the peak
of
hot dog season. But I guess summer is baseball season, so it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I did have a brat yesterday. So does that count as a hot dog? Is a hot dog and a brat the same thing?
It's kind of a glorified hot dog.
Glorified hot dog.
But
depends
depends what is actually in a hot dog.
But to me, they taste better than a hot dog.
They taste better?
I think so.
Okay.
I love a brat.
So a brat is a sausage?
Kind of a sausage type.
Okay, and a hot dog is not a sausage?
I wouldn't say, I don't know.
I get the sense that they're kissing cousins, but
they're close.
They may be related in some way, shape, or form, but they
they're
not in the same
form.
Immediate family.
No. It's amazing that something that ends with worst tastes so good.
That's right.
That is an excellent observation.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And yes, they do taste delicious. Well, today we're going to be talking about Memorial Day. And in that process, we're going to actually talk about the purpose of it. And when we think about Memorial Day, we think about honoring the past and we think about remembering the loss. And both of those things are very important to do. But one of the key things for, I think, humanity in general and our culture in general, but along with that, the Christian community, understanding your past should only have meaning when it's applied to your future. And so when we're talking about Memorial Day, what we want to talk about is the call that it places upon us. And so we're going to be looking in Romans in chapter 12. And Joe, if you would, read verses 1 and 2 for me.
"Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will."
So one of the first things that we see in the passage, and you read it in the New American Standard, you read it there in the NIV, is that in view of God's mercy. The phrasing is in view of God's mercy. So I want to show the difference in using a translation versus a paraphrase. A paraphrase is basically thought for thought, whereas a translation is trying to be word for word. And the Message Bible is a paraphrase. Not only is it a paraphrase, it's literally one man's paraphrase.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you read in the Living Bible, that's a paraphrase, but it's been done by multiple scholars trying to get thought for thought accuracy. Whereas in the Message Bible, it's one guy's opinion, which can be actually quite good, but it can also be misleading. And so let me read it in the Message Bible. He says, "So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday ordinary life." Now, I'm going to stop there because what we heard in the NIV was, in view of God's mercy. And in the Message Bible, he says, God helping you. Well, that's not the intent of the passage, not the intent of the words. The concept is that in reflection upon what God has done, then this is what we are to do. Mm-hmm. Whereas what he's saying is, well, with God's help, make this happen. Mm-hmm. That's a totally different intent. And so a lot of times, and this is kind of a side note, but a lot of times as folks are reading paraphrases, yes, it's much easier to read, but are you getting the actual scripture that you're trying to understand? And I talk with especially young men all the time, and they're listening to podcasts. They may not be studying necessarily the commentaries or the scripture, but they're listening to the Christian podcasts all the time. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a good thing. But the problem is you're hearing one man's voice and not necessarily the scripture. Mm-hmm. And I think therein lies a danger. As soon as you begin to distance yourself further and further from that text, what you're doing is you're opening yourself up more and more to another individual's opinion. And so I would encourage folks, read paraphrases because they're really helpful. I use the Message Bible. Also, read commentaries. They're very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. But make sure that you work hard to know what the actual scripture is saying and what the actual scripture's message is before you hear a man's opinion about what that message is. Mm-hmm. And this is true for preachers like me, too, by the way. This is, you know, my opinion is no stronger than anyone else's. Mm-hmm. And so, and I think, Joe, you hear this in the pulpit a lot, I will say, go home and read this. Go home and read this in its context. Go home and read the chapter before it and the chapter after it. Don't take my word for it. Go look. Yeah. I just really believe that that's a critical element that we're losing slowly in our society. I was talking with a couple of kids the other day, and they were talking about listening to books on Audible, and I love listening to books.
Yeah,
I am absolutely passionate about listening to audiobooks. Mm-hmm. I find them so enlightening and encouraging and everything else. But again, as you're listening to the book, what happens is the one who's reading it, they create inflections, and those inflections give meaning. And so the book's meaning changes even as it's being read to you. Mm-hmm. So if you have a work of fiction and the guy who's reading it is, you know, presenting it in one fashion, your imagination is going one direction, not simply by the words of the author, but also by the inflections of the reader. Mm-hmm. And so,
well, the example of the church in Berea in Acts chapter 17.
Good.
You have Paul, who is an apostle.
Yes.
And so his word should be authoritative, but they also checked him out.
That's right.
They says they were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true.
There you go. So the key component in this is to make sure as we get into the text that we're in the text, that we're not somewhere in the world of opinion or, even the ivory tower of theology. Let's get right down to the text and let the text speak. Now, having done that, we find that it says, in view of God's mercy. In other words, because God's been this way for us, meaning sending his son, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, in view of that mercy, I then am called to do something else. Well, if you think about Memorial Day, the two things about Memorial Day are simultaneous. Peak hot dog season, okay, and the remembrance of loss.
Or
bratwursts. But it's pre hot dog season and also the remembrance of loss. Mm-hmm. Well, those two things make a lot of sense when you start reading Romans, because he's saying when you remember what Christ did, it's going to cause you to go engage your freedom fully. And so what he's going to call us towards is becoming living sacrifices. Now, I want to delineate two different terms. One is to have a sacrificial life. Mm-hmm. In other words, one who dies so that others may live.
Yeah.
Okay? But the other lives in a dying fashion so that others may see.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is we want to have that living sacrifice.
Yes.
Not to sacrifice the life, but to live as the sacrifice. And that's because there's only one sacrifice that can be given, and that was Christ.
Man.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about what it means to move forward in our freedom in Christ with the obligation that he gives us from having died for us. But first, let's hear from Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
For Murray, I cannot imagine being not able to listen to Missionary Radio, not only in my car, but every night, all night long for years. God has used Missionary Radio to help me for years. Bless each one of you. From a Clarksville listener, I appreciate your dedication to the Lord. I grew up listening to the station. From Pembroke, we just love the station and listen all the time. And from Hopkinsville, Missionary Radio reminds me of what is most important in life. All glory to Jesus.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Just helps me stay in touch with Christ and guide my day and keep me on the right path.
It really inspires me to just keep my eyes focused on the Lord.
100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
So we're looking at Romans chapter 12 and the concept of being a living sacrifice and how that kind of relates to the concept of Memorial Day. And so as we're thinking about Memorial Day, we're thinking about the fact that there are those who have literally given their lives so that we have the freedom to engage our lives to their fullest. So the concept of grilling out hamburgers and hot dogs is actually a proper thing. Those who died would not want you to live the rest of your life in sackcloth and ashes, in black veil and mourning. They died so that we would be able to live.
Amen.
And so they would want folks to engage their freedom. But you would want folks to engage their freedom well. In other words, what are you going to do with it that's going to be worthy of what's been given? So if you think about lives that literally paid into the soil with blood so that you get to walk, what are you going to do to live up to what they've handed you? What are you going to do with that life? And so hopefully you're going to make your community better, not worse. If I think that we have a culture that has grown into a consumer culture where it's, you know, well, I have a right to this and I have a right to that. And the truth is, no, the only rights that you have mm-hmm. are the responsibilities you carry.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if somebody died to give you freedom, then that right you have is actually a responsibility. It's not just a right. It's a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do with that? How are you going to expand that? How are you going to grow that? And I think within our culture, especially the consumer culture, we lose some of that. We've got a lot of folks who are very, very fast to declare what they have a right to,
mm-hmm.
but they don't understand the responsibilities that they must have.
Mm-hmm.
So when we lose that perspective, I think that we lose who we are. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he begins by saying, in view of God's mercy, or in the NASB, therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, because God's been merciful to us, because he's given us these things, we have a calling as individuals in the same way that as Americans, because of what others have done for us, we have a calling as Americans. We're supposed to engage that calling. And so what is that calling? Well, he says it is to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. His statement to us is that we're supposed to surrender our life, and as we do that, the follow to that, the what do I want to say? The expected result of that is our life won't look the same anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to be transformed because I'm dying and God is coming to life in me. So one of the things that we talked about yesterday at church was the fact that anybody that goes into the military service, their life gets transformed.
Sure.
They don't look the same. They don't wear the same clothes. They don't have the same haircut. They don't speak the same language. Have you ever talked to, I don't mean just like cussing like a sailor. I mean, have you ever met somebody who's military and they'll say, Roger that, or
I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, they'll use a lot of lingo that is very military-focused because they've learned to speak that language. Well, it's been drilled into them.
Sure.
Okay? So who they are has changed. Watching a young man come back out of boot camp, they always have a different cadence and carry mm-hmm. to their body. They're transformed, and it's a transformation that comes by choice. Granted, it's encouraged.
Strongly in some cases.
But it still is a choice. The individual has to have their body basically, and they say in the military, they will break you. In other words, who you were has to be broken.
Yes.
So they can reform you into the image of what they want. That's the same with God.
Absolutely.
When you and I come to know Christ, we have to get really broken.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get really broken, he begins to transform us into something that is in his image, not ours. And so Christianity is the ultimate selfless religion.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always preach it that way, but it's the truth of it. Christianity is not about you. It's all about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about your comfort. It's all about his glory. I'm afraid there's too many people who preach and teach Christianity for my benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And people get, well, they get discouraged when they realize that wasn't what God was intending.
Yeah.
They think that they've been lied to.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come to know Christ, there should be a transformation. The other thing that happens in transformation, and Brian, I'm sure you've seen this. Joe, I know you've seen this. If somebody goes and they become transformed, everything about them is different,
mm-hmm.
then those who love them and are close to them, they will also be transformed to some degree. Or they
yeah.
won't be with them any longer.
Mm.
Their whole world begins to transform
yeah.
because they're different.
Yeah.
So you see a guy that comes out of, well, we have guys that come from Genesis, which is addiction recovery. They come to our church, and we have some other guys we get to work with from Redeemed and Restored, wonderful guys, and they're with addiction recovery. When they come out of those programs, they are not with the same people they were. They're not mm-hmm. talking the same language they did. They're not going to the same places they did. Why? Well, because they've been transformed, and mm-hmm. that transformation then means, well, your wife is going to have to do differently.
Yeah.
Your children are going to be doing differently.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the military and you get transformed, everything about a military family changes.
Mm.
I was at a graduation party yesterday for a young man. His dad was military. And I didn't realize they've literally been in our community for almost 10 years now. And so they started showing the slideshow of this little kid that I had met when he first came. And now, of course, he's graduating and going on to college. Mm-hmm. And seeing the change in his life, but it was also interesting looking at the experiences that he was having as a child versus what my kids were having as a child. Very different.
Oh, yeah.
Because their dad was doing stuff and leading him into stuff that, my wife would have had conniptions if I had talked about doing, you know? So one of their rites of passage as a family is skydiving.
Oh, no.
And so the boy had just recently completed his first skydive. And the father was telling me, yeah, it's sort of a family tradition. It's a rite of passage.
Hey, man.
I'm like, no big deal.
Okie dokie.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, that's for sure. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it.
But the thing is their daddy's different than me.
That's it.
You know? He's been transformed by military life and very active life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, he is going to be doing things in a different fashion. Therefore, his kids are going to be doing things in a different fashion.
Yes.
So if you're a believer and you aren't seeing people being changed by you around you, then the question is, are you really changed?
Mm.
If folks can't see any difference, then were you really transformed by Christ?
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of being a living sacrifice, it sounds like a huge decision. No, it was the simplest decision. You made it when you said, I want to be saved. You committed your life to Christ, and you handed it all away at that point. The problem is, you just didn't want to be transformed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a growing process of learning what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Just like every kid that signs on the dotted line to join the Army or the Marines, they see the uniforms and the shine of the buckles, and they say, man, I like to make money and look that good. You know, they raise their hand, they take the vow.
Yeah.
And then they go to boot camp and they realize, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
This is not what I was thinking
about.
This
is not the picture I've been looking at.
I was not anticipating all of this,
mm-hmm.
but that's what transformation is about.
Sure.
It takes you. As a matter of fact, we could actually finish this one illustration, which is marriage. Every individual I've ever seen that was dating and says, well, we want to get married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what we're doing. We're all set. We know what we're doing. No, you all do premarital counseling. No, I think we're good. You know? And then you start that premarital counseling, and all of a sudden it's like, you think what? You want to do what? And it's going to be different once you start to be transformed in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get back, we're going to talk about how we are to be growing in that transformation as believers. By becoming that living sacrifice. But first, we're going to hear from Johnny Erickson Tada.
I'm Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tada, Sharing Hope, here on Missionary Radio. And Johnny, our time together today is pretty special as we honor the United States servicemen and women who've given so much to safeguard our country.
Oh, that's right, Shauna. It's Memorial Day. And while this holiday is set aside to remember and to mourn those who have lost their lives in service to our country, I want to tell our friends listening about a special veteran, because this man, his name is J.B., well, J.B.'s story brings honor to all our nation's heroes, and it brings glory to God, because Jesus rescued J.B., and now Jesus is using J.B. to rescue his brothers in arm. His story begins when his mother gave birth to him at the age of 15. J.B. never met his father, and he was adopted by his grandparents, but unsteady life with them was volatile. Then there was his stepfather, who beat him viciously with a belt. Motivated by the attacks of 9/11 and to escape his home life, J.B. at the age of 17 enlisted in the Marine Corps and headed to boot camp shortly after high school graduation. From there, J.B. was deployed to Iraq. There, he was ripped with shrapnel during a mortar attack that killed four of his buddies and wounded four others. JB's best friend was cut down right in front of him. The next day, another close friend took multiple shots going over a wall. JB tried to rescue him, but his wounds were too much. JB held his buddy in his arms, listening as his friend used his very last breath to call out for his mom. By his second deployment to Iraq in 2005, the carnage of war was taking a terrible psychological toll on JB and his unit. Fighting to stay alive by day and escaping from the horror of war with cocaine at night, all of it was mind-numbing. Then, when JB received word that his birth mother was dying of cancer, he hurried home. And for the first time in his life, JB told his mother that he loved her. A few hours later, she passed away, and JB couldn't handle one more crisis. That's when he went AWOL. When he returned to his unit, JB was court-martialed. And so at home, over time, he married, had children, and was drinking heavily. His life spun out of control, and he abused drugs to numb the pain. JB dragged his wife, Melissa, and their kids through hell. But God put a stop to that. And God did it through our Johnny and Friends Warrior Getaway. We design our getaways to bring healing to traumatized disabled veterans. And there at Warrior Getaway, JB and his family found Jesus Christ and a new sense of belonging. For too many years, he had felt alone and consumed by nightmares. But at Warrior Getaway, surrounded by veterans who truly understood him and who faced the same demons he faced, JB, a Purple Heart recipient, discovered a new purpose in his life. And I praise God for that purpose, because now he is helping and serving other veterans just like him, all in the name of Jesus.
Oh, Johnny, I just love that Jesus, the rescuer of our souls, rescued JB and his family from the dominion of darkness and brought them all into the light of his love.
Hallelujah.
And God is now using JB to bring other disabled veterans into the rescuing arms of Jesus Christ.
That's what happens at our Warrior Getaways, and that brings honor to our fallen heroes on this Memorial Day and all year long. God bless you today, and thanks for listening.
I am Brother Mark Fong, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Spring has sprung, and so has the joy of new beginnings. Celebrate the season of renewal with 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio, where hope blooms and faith flourishes.
So we've been talking about Memorial Day and the idea of looking back at what has been given, the sacrifice that's been offered, and what that means to create in us a desire to live sacrificially going forward. And so in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the scripture there says that we are urged by the mercy of God to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So when Paul is telling them to be living sacrifices, he doesn't simply say, hey, you just have to do this. What he's saying is based on what God's already done for you, then this is what you do in response. And it's a very, very simple equation. Based on what you've been given, now you know what to give. It's very, very simple. There's a illustration that I shared yesterday, and Todd Goulet over at First Baptist Church, he's the pastor there, he was telling me this illustration. We were in a we were texting back and forth, but he gave this illustration, and I really liked it. And he was saved when he was in his 20s. And what he says is, when I was saved, God covered me, Christ covered me, with his robe of righteousness. In other words, what Jesus did on the cross, he placed over Todd when Todd said, I need to be saved. As he knelt down, Christ came up, placed his robe of righteousness over that sinful individual, Todd Goulet. Mm-hmm. Just the same as he did for me, the same he does for us. The thing is that when he places that robe of righteousness over us, it's far too big for us. We can't wear it. It's not ours. It's his. And it covers us, certainly, but it's far too big. So the rest of our days, what we're trying to do is to grow into that robe. We're trying to fill out so the robe fits better. That's the idea. You're not earning your salvation. You're just trying to live up to what you've already been given. And I love that picture. I thought it was just the most perfect illustration, because I remember as a kid, you know, having my dad's shirts or boots, you know, and you put those things on, and once you realize, man, I've got my feet in these boots, but they're so much bigger than I am. But as a little boy, what you want to do is you want to grow up into the man that he is. And like I was telling you, watching the slideshow of that young man that's now graduating, and seeing him start us this, and he was always, you know, there with his dad, you know, and wanting to stand up tall and straight beside his dad. And there was one, he was in the high school ROTC, and there was a picture of dad in his full uniform, and the young man in his full uniform, and you could see, you know, trying to swell up and fill out what he's been given. And that's who we are. So when we have this calling in Romans 12, it's not, we think of it as sacrifice. It's not sacrifice. It's this debt of love that's driving us into this desire to live up to what's been given to us. And so Memorial Day is literally that for us. We look at those who have died to give us the freedom that we have. So we have freedom of speech. Super. What are you going to do with that? You know? Well, it means I can say whatever I want to, or darn well want to. No, it doesn't mean that at all.
It does not mean that.
The whole point of freedom of speech is so that you have the opportunity to make the world a better place. If all you're going to do is be ugly, then you're not actually helping. You're not living up to what you've been given, you know? Or let's say I have the freedom of travel, you know? We can go wherever we want to. Nobody gets to tell us what to do in this country. We can go from state to state. We don't have to have any papers, and we don't have to have orders. No, you don't. Well, what are you going to do with that? Well, I'm just going to wander homelessly. you could. But what's that doing?
That's true.
You know, how's that helping? What difference are you making? You know, I just think that our world is filled with people that have been given so much, and they don't understand what they've been given, and therefore they don't know how to live up to what it is that's been asked of them. And maybe that's just the old man in me coming out, Joe. I don't know. maybe I was more radical when I was younger. But when you recognize what's been offered, then you want to live up to and fill out what you've been given. And so as a Christian, what we see in Paul's writing there is that he says, you're going to want to know what God's will is. Well, why? because I want to fill out these robes. Mm-hmm. And so you're trying to do that. How are you going to do that? Well, by being transformed, by the renewing of your mind, so that you will understand and you'll be able to do this. And so as we kind of finish up, one of the things I want to make mention of is the fact that our Lord's Supper service, every time that we have it, some churches do it every week, some churches do it once a quarter, some do it once a month. Mm-hmm. Everybody does it differently. I'm not here to argue about that. What I'm here to talk about, though, is the fact that Paul says, the Scripture says, that when we do it as a memorial. It's a Memorial Day event. Over there in 1 Corinthians, what he says there in Corinthians, what is it, 14? No, 11, 1126. What Paul says in that verse is very, very simple. He says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. But here's the important phrase, until he comes.
Yeah.
So we remember it so that we can live up to it until he returns to fulfill it.
Yes.
Every time that we do the Lord's Supper, it's a memorial day, but we're not just simply dredging up the past.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is we're reflecting on the past to change our present and our future. And if Memorial Day is that for you, I pray that you will make a difference today and tomorrow. And if Lord's Supper, you can understand that to be that for you, I pray that that Sunday will make a difference for you that day and then on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The goal, every time we have these, is to have a moment where we reflect so that we can move forward.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we enjoy so much at our church, and it's the final illustration I'll use today, is bereavement meals. Now, Joe's been a part of those many years, and so when we have a funeral, I'm sure your church probably does it too, we do bereavement meals. Mm-hmm. After the funeral, after the graveside service, the family all comes back, and there's, well, fried chicken, of course.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a Baptist church.
Oh, yeah, got to.
And so, you know, we have all these things. And then what happens is the family gathers around the table and they start talking about the loss.
Mm-hmm.
But at the bereavement meal, there are fewer tears than at the funeral.
Yeah.
At the bereavement meal, there are fewer tears than at the graveside. And the reason is because they begin to make the transition at the bereavement meal from talking about the past, talking about the present, and then the future.
Yeah.
And that's the goal.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we do that is so that we leave the day, this day of remembrance, honoring the past, with this idea of the today and the future ahead.
Amen.
And so when we do that correctly, it makes a world of difference in a family as they leave the church. So I've watched people coming in crying and going out smiling, not because they've forgotten what they've done. It's because they processed it, and now they're beginning to allow it to change them.
Yes.
Joe, do you have something?
No, I don't.
You had your finger in the Scripture. I was going
to. I was just over to where you just had been.
I appreciate that. Well, I hope that today, as you have your Memorial Day, that you will remember to move the flags properly, half staff at sunrise, already up, and then full staff by noon. And if you can remember at 3, take a moment of silence to recall what it is that has been done to give you the freedom that you have. But then don't leave it all there. Take it from there and say, so what does that mean for me today and tomorrow? How will I use what's been given to me to live up to what I've been given?
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on this Memorial Day. Join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch.